Hello, welcome in again to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. We are Rochelle and Carter, where we go over spiritually just what's going on in our lives, hard topics, what we go through in the Bible. We also, it's a spooky version today. We don't really get that into Halloween, but your Christian t-shirts.
Oh, it's so good, right? And loosely based on Matthew 4:19.
Loosely.
Which says, you know, Jesus is telling Peter, come follow me. I'll make you a fisher of people.
It doesn't say any of the words that are on your shirt.
What does it say, Carter?
Your shirt says, are you following Jesus?
Following.
Following.
Spelled.
F-A-L-L dash pumpkin for the O dash W-E-E-N.
And it's awesome.
It's something.
It's Halloween, but it's...
No, we understood. Plus, I mean, there's the pun.
And there's a cross in case you were wondering.
So you go to a trunk or treat, somebody sees your shirt that is new to church, new to the faith, and they're like, wow, I didn't know that that was referenced in Matthew to be following Jesus.
Well, they could have gone with Jesus as the light of the world. And honestly, I have used the pumpkin as an illustration with children.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Where you cut it out and, I mean—
You take the gross out.
Right. You take the gross out, which is what Jesus does, right? Uh-huh. When we say yes to Jesus, there's some things that happen. We're dying to ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And so, well, it can get a little Michael Myers because you use the knife to cut into it. How do we become not ourselves anymore? Our life is over, our past life. We are now new creation. So he takes out the filth, and then he wants to have his identity be our identity. And obviously you use lingo that's going to be age appropriate.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's like, I want to reflect the love and light of Jesus Christ. And you put the light, his light in there.
Yeah, a little candle in there.
And
yeah.
It's perfect. It's a great way to share Jesus.
It really is a good one. I like that. This shirt is not on that level. It's like, and I love the Christian stuff that gets around it. You know, we call it the Hallelujah Party.
At a church
I went to, the harvest or hallelujah party that they have on the 30th or 31st or right in there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's still a lot of fun. It's kids with candy, and then they get to learn about Jesus and those things.
A few years ago, you really went in depth, though, with the background story for Halloween.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Even in relationship to the church.
Sure.
And that was highly fascinating. So if you did not catch that episode, it is podcast form only. It's not
That's true.
It on was YouTube.
Before we started videoing. So if you want to get the links to Apple or Spotify, maybe you're a YouTube person, you want to get the links to Apple or Spotify, you can text the word quiet to 893-893. If you're a listener, but you want to get the YouTube link to see this travesty, you text the word also, text the word quiet to 893-893. And please do, because I can't remember all what I said, but I know it had to be good. And I do
was
know
historical.
The historical nature of that, because I had just researched that. But the most important thing, and Halloween is just the prime example of the Romans 14. We just went over this recently anyway, right? About just if something is wrong for you, it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong for me. Now, there, you know, things that are wrong according to scripture are just wrong.
Right.
But things like this, we were talking about music and stuff a couple of weeks ago, but Halloween is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Some choose to shut their door, turn off their light, watch fireproof inside, like have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And some use it as a great opportunity, whether it's at church or just to, you know your neighbors. And I kind of always felt it was my responsibility to encourage people. This is a great opportunity to meet your neighbor, it's candy. What's not to like? You don't have to celebrate the evil parts, but it's if that's somebody. This is where I was wrong. If it's somebody's conviction to not be a part of it, then that is between them and God, and it works both ways. They can't tell me that I'm wrong for wanting to meet my neighbor and have candy, but I also can't tell them they're wrong for not wanting to do that.
There was an interesting example that I think we can use here, and I do not know a lot about the Amish community and how it got started.
Yeah.
But I am familiar in the parts of the world that I've been. In fact, I have a lot of family up in the Northeast in Pennsylvania area where it's Amish country, and in fact, my aunt moved to a farm in the middle of Oklahoma where there's quite a large community of Amish people.
Oh, okay.
I bring that up because if you know anything about them generally, you know about the look that is there. It's very modest, everything incredibly conservative for the women. There's certain hats, there's certain dresses that they wear, plain.
And they got clothing. Great pie.
They make amazing food, yes. And then the gentleman, there's always the long beard. There's no mustache. I said mustache. I think I'm the first time in my entire life.
Have you seen my mustache? My fiance, my mustache.
What part of the country is she from?
Yeah, yeah. She grew up Amish.
Oh, my word. So, no, a mustachioed Amish man you will never find. But so having said that, there's also the huge knowledge that they – and this probably it became prevalent with the movie Witness with Harrison Ford back in the late 80s or something like that. But they do not use electricity. They drive wagons with horses. That's what they ride around in carriages. And my aunt discovered very quickly, now this is not speaking for the entire community. She didn't know the entire community, but the people that she befriended, there were some that were incredible. And then there were some who knew how to get around the system.
Oh, they would have a phone or they would,
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
But you had a car.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah.
And I need a lift.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though I don't believe in what you're doing, I don't mind you allowing me to be a part. In fact, they would manipulate the system for their own. So you see the heart issue. Mm. They didn't really believe what they were thinking.
Sure.
That particular individual, they didn't really believe that. Huh. Then they found a way around it so that it appeased everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, that's
interesting. But it was not in their heart to be a part of that. And there were some in the community that were. So manipulating the system and then therefore trying to manipulate my aunt actually and giving these free rides over and over again. It was a lot of gas money back and forth. She was only too happy it was on the way somewhere. But like, so it then became an expectation and so on and so forth. I don't want to get lost in the example. But I think it's a hard issue always. So here's a community who has made this decision. We are not going to participate in something that could tempt us away from our beliefs. Uh-huh. We're not even going to flirt with that. However, there are individuals still in that body of people that, I mean, there's actually a time period. I forget what it's called. There's a time period where certain teenagers are allowed to go and, quote, sow their wild oats.
Well, that became that reality show.
Yeah.
Breaking Amish or whatever it was.
And then they would come back into the community and it's like, okay, well, wait a second. Is this real anymore? Has it become something that's so literal that it's not connecting with your heart? So you're speaking it, but is it connected to your heart?
Sure.
And so there are very legitimate reasons why people just abstain from the Halloween holiday.
Yeah.
And it could be background cultural. It could be something that took place. It could be any number of things. The fear aspect, the scariness. And I totally respect people for their reasoning behind it. But we're also cautious with things in this world as we should be, but we're not to be of this world. We are to be in it. So we have to kind of walk that line with the Holy Spirit and say, God, would you lead and guide how this day I'm going to be in society and how I participate? Because you know my heart. And I don't want to be connecting with things that are outside of your realm for me.
Yeah.
Now, I personally like costumes. I enjoy candy. And as a child, my parents were very clear with me that when we did this, there was one year, in fact, we didn't say trick or treat. We weren't going to say trick or treat.
Oh, okay. You as a family weren't saying that.
Because even though the word trick, because trick was in it, and that has very old connotations. It's like, you know, you're going to egg your house, we're going to do something bad to you.
Right.
In fact, I think the history you brought up in it.
It was really mean.
It was really nasty.
It was like they would remove, because it was old school, and they would remove the steps from the home. And so the people would walk out their front door and fall three or 4 feet, right? You know?
Which somebody laughing in the bushes, that's great, but.
So the treating began as bribes.
It was the
I'll give you a treat if you don't trick, okay?
What is that, fail army? Is that what that is?
The early fail army. Yes, yes.
Anyway, so we didn't say trick or treat. We wrote out little poems.
Okay.
And it said, we have not come to trick you, but to bless you on this day. I just remember that first part. And then something about, may Jesus love you, for this is the day the Lord has made, or something like that. I don't know.
And this is when you were handing out candy
We were going to go door to door.
Oh, okay.
And ask for the candy, but then also in return wanting to leave a blessing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And say what you want about that. Is that too over the top for your family? More than likely, yes. Okay? Had a children's pastor for a dad.
Right, yeah.
It is what it is. But I applaud his efforts, though, because I will never forget that.
Sure.
And it left a lasting impression on who are we about.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good.
It's not about tricking. It's not about anything the enemy would promote on this day.
Yeah.
It's about that God has given us these incredible days and moments and things to delight in. To delight in our child. And any other day, would it be all right for them to dress like a princess? Well, why not today?
Right. Well, I think it's hard because we live in a culture that is telling us on big topics, big, very black and white topics. Yeah. You got to figure out you and do what do you and do what makes you happy and do. And this gray area that we've been kind of, especially the past couple of weeks, kind of into of, it is true about this category. I do have to figure out me. I do have to figure out what the conviction that God has placed in my life is.
Yeah.
And so that's why it seems so wrong. And I think the other side of it is that what you see on, at least I have in the last couple of weeks, you get on Facebook or something, and it's this guilt trip of, you know, here's this you know, it's not a chain email anymore, but it's that post that's gone viral and it's gotten a lot of shares and your friend from church shared it.
Right.
And it says, here's a great reason why we shouldn't be celebrating Halloween, you know, and then you just feel guilty. And this is so key on an issue like this where I don't want to be made to feel any certain way. I just want to back up and it be between me and God and go, is this something I want to be a part of or not? Or maybe there's certainly segments of Halloween are wrong.
Yeah.
You know, because it's got the reputation to with promiscuity and to dress, you know, however you want to. And yeah, I mean, that we can just call out flat out as
and
wrong.
And it's ties to, there are definitely pagan things tied to this.
Sure, absolutely.
So.
But is it okay for you, and you have to do this between you and God, to wear a costume and have candy, do the jack-o'-lantern, or is it not? And if it's not, that's okay too. And if it is, that's okay too. So.
And it that doesn't feel like a real strong argument, does it?
No.
But
no.
Because I think that is where it lies in Romans 14. There's the blurred edge of something that is not concrete in Scripture. It is not yes, we are told to stay away from things that are not of the Lord, right? But every day we are exposed to things that are not of the Lord. So do we just go into a hole somewhere?
Yeah.
Right? But having said that, if you have clarity about things that, like, but I know that I'm not supposed to do this. That's God.
Yeah, totally.
And until you have clarity and you have questions, maybe just abstain altogether from it.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Because
that's
when you are parenting a child and they are not grown to the place of knowing how to drive, you're not going to give a car that they will eventually be able to drive and figure out.
Sure.
Yeah. Before they turn a certain age,
well, there's a reason. There's a voting age, a drinking age.
Yes.
There's a reason that you don't participate in the Lord's, whatever you call it, communion, Eucharist, Lord's Supper, until you're a believer and you understand.
Yes.
You know, so with great strength comes great responsibility, right?
Yes.
And Romans 14 is just, I just would love for you to read it. It is about, because that's what you said about the things of this world and stay away from it.
Yeah.
It was about meat that had been blessed to pagan gods being sold at the local HEB or Kroger, right? It was the local market. Mm-hmm. And Christians were going and just like buying meat and not thinking anything of it. And then certain Christians that had come from paganism said,
Do you know where that came from?
You can't do that. That's wrong.
Yeah, we know where that came from. We know. And you know what? It probably triggered memories.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Things that, It was everything against what they believe now.
And to be honest with you, a lot of people that I see that are against Halloween, all of it, I mean, you'd think, I would think that it would be people that were raised in church and super legalistic.
No.
Often I see it's people that had a dark past.
And they maybe tampered with some things that they shouldn't have.
Yeah. And so then you have a whole different perspective of you're like, oh, I respect you staying away from it. You know, So that good on you. Good for you.
And whatever your decision is, if your heart is in it,
yeah,
and that's what Jesus was God is talking about. Words have impact, absolutely. But keep in mind when that is written, it's talking about the things that we have associated with those words. So when we have associated certain things with the things that we say. And we are very aware when we say them exactly. Everybody in this room knows what I'm saying, you know. That's what God is looking at, I think. It's the heart behind what I'm saying. Mm. I hope that makes sense. It's like when he's looking at things of the heart. So like if you go into another part of the world and they may say a curse word that we don't say, you know, like in certain circles, I was like,
sure.
Did he just say that?
Yeah.
But it was a very common term for them because it was like, well, this is
it's culturally
socially
different,
and culturally
yeah.
acceptable. So God looks at the heart even of those types of moments. It's like, is this person trying to be disgusting in a public place? Or like, what's the heart of what they're trying to say is basically it.
Yeah.
And God filters all of that. I mean, he knows that.
Well, and I was talking with some friends recently about the culture of a church. A little bit of a different topic, but say still in this I have the right to do, it's between me and God kind of topic, mm-hmm. okay? And that you can't mandate what's right between me and God on issues that aren't concrete in scripture. I like the way you said that. And when it comes to church culture and the vibe of the church, where you may go to a church and all the men are in suit and tie. You may go to a church and it's right on the beach and everybody's in flip-flops. And there should be a level of, first of all, I think we should say, especially to visitors, especially to people who are figuring it out, come as you are. Mm-hmm. You should be welcome. If a church is all, and I have a lot of relatives and I've been in these churches that are all suit and tie, but I know so many men that would always dress suit and tie that would, here comes a guy off the street, you're wearing a trash bag for crying out loud. Come on in, come as you are. Jesus loves you. Absolutely. But then there is the also, I think when you attend that church and you see what
the
culture is, right?
Yeah.
There should be a level of I'm going to get in line in the right way.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be an idol by any means. And it would be wrong. It's kind of what you're saying. It would be wrong of me to go, because I believe this, come as you are. Who cares what you wear on a Sunday? I mean, within reason, right? Who cares what you wear? You're just worshiping God. And I'll even say me and my Uncle Mike have talked about this. He's in a church that is pretty suit and tie. It would be wrong of me to intentionally go in there in flip-flops just to prove a point.
Yeah, no, that's the heart of the issue, isn't it?
Just to get everybody riled up and go, see what I'm doing, see how wrong you guys are.
And nobody would know, Carter, except...
except me and God. Because they could see, if I literally walked in for the first time, nobody would know. I think it would become more obvious if I attended and did that every week. But you're right. It would just be between me and God. And that would really be wrong of me because what's my motive? It's to just make people feel foolish in whatever their tradition is. When it comes to what we're talking about with food, the days of the week is actually listed there in Romans 14, as in a Sabbath or as in a special festival or holiday. If you want to count one day as more important than another, or you want to count all the days of the same, it is between you and God. I mean, I'm obviously paraphrasing that, but it is the food, it is the days of the week, it is clearly the dress, it is all of that I have to respect others and where they're at, and not treat them as less than if they just haven't arrived. Once they understand, they'll agree with me. Like we may disagree for the rest of our lives, and both be equally right.
And we have to. Also, if we're the person coming in flip-flops, extend the same grace if somebody is distracted by the way we look.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because maybe they're not in a place yet.
Sure. Sure.
Of understanding. So we can be so distracted by the thing that we're concerned that people will be distracted by.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the reason why we want to dress a certain way is because we want to keep people from being distracted. But if that becomes a distraction.
Sure. Sure.
From being the hands and feet of Jesus, we have to be cautioned by that.
Yeah.
At the same time, yes, knowing that a certain you go into a fine dining restaurant and you don't have the proper attire, they either will not allow you to come in or something will be provided for you.
They'll get you a jacket, right?
They'll get you a jacket. And I think in a loving way, we can do that in a church if we feel like there is an appropriate attire. There's an appropriate time maybe also to come alongside and say, we are so amazed and glad that you were here and maybe get to know that person. Maybe and financially they can afford something a little bit nicer than what they're wearing. You know,
I think it'd be weird the first time, but I think my relative even actually said that I'd go buy him a suit.
Yeah.
I think you really would.
Sure.
You know, and that's,
it could be a choice though too.
That could be a choice, you know? And so there's so much nuance in general. Right. We all, you know, if you're watching, you're listening, you're thinking about your specific situation, what you've encountered before. And there might be something to that of like, oh no. That person that told you this, no, they did handle it wrong. Cause there's this element of it or what, or maybe maybe you handled it wrong. You know, there's so much, every situation is just going to be different, but it does come down to, if it's not concrete in scripture, I can't force my opinion on others.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was getting to, in a roundabout way, in terms of like the words that we speak, let the words of your mouth, what are they supposed to be pleasing to the Lord? So if I'm supposed to make sure that I am following every little thing that the scripture tells us to, again, I just want to say that God is always going back to the heart, the heart of David. David did so many things that he shouldn't have been doing. Why did God value this son so much? He loved this kid, and he favored this kid, and he poured out that favor on his kid so that Jesus actually came from that bloodline, right? Why? Because his heart was all about God. Did he make mistakes? Yeah, he killed a bunch of people too. You know, he had blood on his hands. Sure. One of the reasons why he couldn't build the temple. And so there are things that keep us from, because out of fear, I don't want my child to do the Halloween thing because what if I let a bad spirit into our world? What if I, well, what is your, the intent behind doing this thing? Is it to flirt with things that are evil?
Right. Right.
Or is it to, does it have a good intent? You know, and so always, am I taking this thing literally or am I, God, what did you mean when you said this?
Yeah.
So having, I always enjoy that conversation.
It's a good one because
it's great to hear from both sides.
Yeah, and it's never ending, right?
I know.
Because it's just a fascinating topic. And obviously you'll probably jump on Instagram or Facebook after this and see the opposite and see people talk, you know, talking about it in one way or the other.
Definitely. I have had people, I remember when I did it on our Facebook page once, I just carved the pumpkin.
Right.
And so much love. And here's what we do as well. And this is a whole nother devotional type idea, but where we extract the one ugly comment and there's like all these amazing, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that at Sunday school. I love that idea with the pumpkin.
Yeah.
And one person who failed to see anything that I was saying.
Sure. Yeah.
Even my pumpkin that I had actually literally carved the face of Jesus in to make it look like Jesus when it was glowing. It was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought she was a Christian.
Yeah.
And they were sincere in that. It hurt my feelings so bad. And
well, sure.
You know what, Lord? We're all coming from different places. So if for no other reason, if you're listening right now, you're like, I don't do any of that. I really do struggle with that. At least try to hear the heart behind the reasoning, maybe why others do.
Well, and I think that's—
reaching out to the community or for their own family.
With that situation, it is totally fine to think that you're in the wrong, but— And it's also important for you to usher grace when somebody, because you're right, we don't know where people come from, but we can, I can honestly say of being through that situation and seeing that comment, she is in the wrong for saying that comment. It's fine if she disagrees or she's like, man, what, you know, and it's all, it's, you know, like a mind warp of just like, if she's that, what do you mean? But to say that, I mean, that's why we have to really study scripture and go, the bond we have is as believers in Jesus.
That's right.
And we, if we disagree on lower stuff, that's okay.
Yeah.
And we still have to link arms in Christ. And so I think we can say that was wrong, but also she doesn't have a wrong opinion in terms of if she thinks it's wrong. That's totally fine.
Right.
Absolutely.
But if she asks, you know, she questions my, which.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to read something, though, that is traditionally believed to be the psalm that the disciples and Jesus would have sung at the Last Supper.
Oh, yes, yes.
And this is a book my dad gave me, and it just has a like a journal side, so you can write stuff out on it. And then I'd like to share with you the things that I wrote. So it is something that when I read, if you would just picture what this must have been like, okay?
And this is, which psalm again?
This is Psalm 118.
18, okay, 118.
And it obviously comes right before a giant one. If you know the psalms, and if you don't, I don't mean to say that condescendingly at all. 119 is like huge.
It's really long.
It goes through all, I believe, all of the Semitic alphabet. So it's like, yeah, each one stands for a letter or a symbol kind of a thing.
Okay.
So, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I don't want to ever assume some things. I may like stop myself in the midst of what I wrote. But have you ever thought about your last day on earth?
Whew.
Right. Yeah. And you're told this is it. How would you spend your time?
Well, this is an interesting question actually, because, my pastor, that I'll share what it was. In fact, I can look it up and so I can say it verbatim. He tweeted something that went viral. I mean, like you've probably seen it at some point or another.
If he's going to say something super profound,
then let you go first.
Well, no, I just want you to mull over the thought for yourself, not for him.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously there's the fun, you know, you have the, you'd go to, you know, a theme park and you'd eat all the food, your last meal and all that stuff.
Yeah, but, those are fun things.
You know, you think about it on, I can't get past of what it looks like. Are you in a hospital bed or are you surrounded by family or, you know, what does that look like? But you certainly want to be around those closest to you.
Mm, I mean, certainly, yeah.
Regardless of how that looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on hold for that
okay.
for a moment,
yeah.
Because I think I know where you're going with that. And I just want to kind of mull over this passage. And all the things that just got read, which may have felt so repetitious, but that's a song.
Yeah, that's a song. Right, yeah.
Jesus is thought to have had 3 years of ministry, okay? So from 30 to 33. And the same God who coordinates our systems in the body, ecosystems, and solar systems is precise and thoughtful about every need to keep each system up and running. Jesus was precise in those 3 years. Every detail was purposeful, not one moment wasted. And he is man, God in man's flesh, not a robot, so therefore downtime, rest, that was a part of the routine. But even in rest, he set a standard for us. We need to rest.
Yeah.
This psalm may have been sung at the Last Supper, and it would have had its purpose. It was not Oh, you know, you want to do that one?
Yeah. It was purposely chosen. Yeah.
It reflects on his light in the midst of these verses, you may remember, being our gateway. He is the gate.
Mm-hmm.
As our cornerstone. There was another one I think that I accidentally glossed over in the writing of this, but you can always go back and look at all of the ways that he has been described in these passages. It would later, not then, but later remind the disciples of these particular symbols. Along with remembering, and this was a song that we would sing all the time in Sunday school. This is the day that the Lord has made. And it drove me bananas because my principal in our private Christian school, it was his favorite song, and we had to sing it at every chapel, and we all...
it's Monday morning.
Yes. Oh. But this is where, when I read that, I'm excited about it now. I get why he was excited. And remembering both days, the day of his death and the day of his resurrection, are days that the Lord has made. And what is the requirement? To rejoice and be glad in it. It is bitter more than sweet to think of Jesus as the final festal sacrifice bound by cords to the altar. But thoughts are usually driven by our feelings and emotion. What is truth is that his death is precious and his sacrifice sweet. And he loves me that much. He loves you that much. His choices were deliberate and they were just in satisfying a debt that we could not pay. When you read through these, I mean, the more I pour over, even we talked about the alphabet in 119. I don't know if you can see this, but just go in. There's Aleph, Beth. I know I'm saying them all wrong, but like every single one of these things, I'm just reviewing simple words. Like, what is testimony? It's a declaration of truth or fact. What is precepts when they talk about keeping your precepts, rules? What does that mean? What would that mean in today's world? I don't know, just kind of trying to think about things that you've never really thought about before, something that doesn't just exist on the paper, but it's like when you finally see somebody perform Shakespeare and it's not just drivel with iambic pentameter somehow attached to it poorly. It's people like with no theater background. What? Pentameter? That sounds like it's part of Halloween. it's like, but when you see it performed well and you're like, oh my word, I get what Hamlet's all about now. And it's like when you finally start, this means stuff. And it was written so long ago, before Jesus even. And
well, it makes me think, what were the disciples thinking?
What were they thinking through?
Well, they were singing those words.
This is a song. Yeah. Like, they were probably thinking what I may have been thinking as a child in that private Christian school.
Yeah.
I want this to be over with because, I mean, they got the Passover feast over there.
Right, right, yeah.
The food's ready.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
But
yeah.
You know what? You're also used to the ritual of it. You're used to, you know, and I don't even know if the song would have been sung before dinner. I don't know. But you're used to the ritual of it. And there were things certainly about the Passover feast itself that were like, what is he doing? Because he broke protocol with all the things he was doing.
Sure.
Did things out of succession or like what you said, things that aren't a part of the normal thing that you're supposed to say. But yeah, just to be one of them. But what wouldn't it give you chill bumps like later when you're sitting there and Matthew and John or whoever was like informing Luke about what took place that night, reflecting on what did we do? What did we do? And then when you go, oh my word.
Yeah.
The cornerstone the builders rejected.
That's him.
And he said it, but then we sang it, but then I didn't think about it because I was kind of tired because we didn't know that lamb.
Right.
You know? I don't know. It's just, it's fun to go over that and exciting. And it becomes, that's how we grow our relationship with God. That's how we get to the place of driving the car as opposed to being the child who's too young to really figure it out with the Holy Spirit, right? We brought up that analogy earlier about like, how do you define these things that are blurred, the more I know him, the more I don't want to have anything to do with anything that isn't what his desire is for me. And so that may look a little bit differently than you in terms of celebration and stuff like that. But I think that's the key, is just growing to know, God, I just want to know you. And show me what that looks like. Because sometimes the more I know him, I've also discovered ego in it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the things I know, you know. Or could argue that guy off his high horse or whatever terms of social media, whatever, or person's an idiot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, whoa. Again, what's the heart of that look like?
Yeah.
Nothing like Jesus.
Yeah. This is in regards to all that. This is what my pastor shared that went viral.
That went viral, as they say.
He said, well, he said this in 2014, mm-hmm. and I've seen it in many different
platforms. Like,
claim, you know, whether they claim that they did it or they just screenshotted it and cut his name off or whatever. But he said, sometimes I joke about what I'd do if I had one day left to live, eat junk, go crazy. Today it hit me. Jesus knew, and he washed feet.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Jesus knew and washed feet.
Pretty good stuff.
No, that's great.
I know you have a question that we may get to next week.
I'm going to tease it.
And I will have you do that. And then I have a comment on your shirts.
And, wait, give me the shirt comment.
No, this has to be last.
That
Go ahead.
Has to be last?
This has to be last.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh, then it's going to be really good.
It's because I never thought about it like this on this comment.
So,
but yes, go ahead.
I want you to be kind of thinking about the conversation you might have with your 17-year-old child. You're like, I don't have a 17-year-old. Okay. With a young person
mm-hmm.
who's asking you about. So it's called, without pronunciation for things in Switzerland, the Sarko Suicide Capsule hopes to enter Switzerland, a 3D printed capsule destined for use in assisted suicide, hopes to operate in Switzerland, according to Exit International, the organization that developed the Sarko machine. It has not passed as of yet legal review, but like some 1,300 people died by assisted suicide in Switzerland in 2020, using the services of the country's two largest assisted suicide organizations. So what it's trying to do, the current method right now is an ingestion of liquid sodium pentobarbital. I think what it's trying to do, it would be a more, if you could call it, peaceful way. The person will get into the capsule, lie down. It's very comfortable. It won't take long. And then you pass away.
And this is your 17-year-old asking you about this?
Oh, he was at the dinner table yesterday, and he had come home from school, and Sammy's one of those kids who's just fascinated by technology, new things that are out there, and I don't know how this popped up. Swiss info. I'm like, why? are we going to IKEA? Where did this come from? And his initial response, I think, was one that I think a lot of us would have. That's just great. And by great meaning horrifying, and what are we coming to? And then I said, honey, let's talk, because your initial response may be not informed.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, we will chat about that next week.
Think about it. Please don't let that be like, first she's wearing a Halloween shirt.
Right.
Now she's talking about.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I said it. We're all about life, and God is the way, the truth, and the life. I'll just leave it at that. But I think we need to talk about this with our kids and not just like have one-liners.
Sure.
We need to be thoughtful in our communication with our children and with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. So yeah. those conversations are hard, but
it is
important.
A tough subject.
Well, and it's one of those, you don't, in any tough subject, you want to be the one to guide your child. And not, otherwise the world's going to do it.
Yeah.
Their friends are going to do it.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do it. So on this comment to wrap up for this week.
This is about my shirts.
Somebody shared, Alex T says this, I'd like to know if other cultures do this with their religious icons, or if it's just Christians. Like, are other religions, do they have like these punny shirts in like Hinduism or Islam? Like, I'm like, it's a good point. I've never seen like a punny,
like a Buddha.
The only one I've seen is
maybe a Buddha shirt.
A yoga, is it yoga where it's like Namaste home today?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, like I've seen that.
Those kind of things.
But I don't think I've seen what Islam, I don't think would, because you're not, that's what she specifically asked. Are there Muhammad is calling shirts? I mean, well, you wouldn't have an image of Muhammad for sure. That's something you don't do.
No, that would probably be considered blasphemy.
Yeah. And, but as for like messages, I'm like, do we control the market on punny?
And is that a position we want?
And yet here you are with Exhibit A.
But you know what? You have heard the saying, you may be the only Jesus that people meet today.
Yep, there you go. There you go.
In order for them to make sure that that is the person that they're meeting. Some days, there are days where you're in and out of a store and they read a shirt that reminds them that they're loved by the Lord.
And it helps keep you accountable to watch your attitude because you're wearing this.
I was going to say, and if you're having an off day, do not wear the shirt.
Yeah. No,
Don't be wearing the shirt.
Not if you get off. And I want to say also, I think it's important to acknowledge, you've run a few past me that we both were like, okay, we don't want to go like sacrilegious with it.
We have crossed a line.
There are shirts that I think, and memes, you see these online, that really do cross lines sometimes, even though they're trying to be funny. But you do a good job of, I think, keeping it real cheesy, real dumb, but appropriate.
I have accountability people, Carson, one of them. I'm like, what about this one?
Cross the line.
Yes.
Now they're all crossed the line in cheesiness, yes. All right, we'll see you next week, the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. Thank you.